Wait, Trixie Mattel.
Yeah.
You're on the show. I'm so excited. Drag, makeup,
hey, what's
music,
going on with the drag?
Real estate.
Yeah.
What can you do?
We're still trying to find, we're still trying to figure that out.
Like, I feel very much invested in your downfall.
Right.
You're somebody who I view as not an enemy so much as, like, I think I want to humble you a little bit.
I love that. Yeah. I have terrible skin and I'm bald. Does that help?
You have beautiful skin and you are bald, but you're also bald and beautiful.
You had Brittany Broski on here. You're used to bald people.
I have... Girl.
She and I... the shit she and I send to each other that's like, this is us.
Yeah.
The last one was like, do you know that scene in Addams Family Values where Uncle Fester has the girlfriend who's bald?
I was yeah.
Like, Mama.
Come on.
This is us.
Baby girl.
Baby.
This is us coded.
She and I just got together the other day and she wanted to do a video where we put on cosplay makeup and we did SpongeBob and Squidward.
Yeah. Well...
But God forbid she researches how to apply a prosthetic or like anything like that.
So you have to do it all?
Yes.
She's
yes.
not
yet. No, I didn't do anything. I watched her flop. She painted. I'm helping. This isn't We're Here.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking getting in drag and being like, I'm going to help you.
Let me help you, girl.
I want to do a version of We're Here where we show up and just ruin lives. We show up and you're like, so you're divorced and you have a bum knee. Well, let's do baby bangs.
Yeah.
Some face tattoos. You're going to work at a call center.
Yeah.
And we're going to remove the muffler from your car. So it's going to be super loud.
It's going to be tough to go through the neighborhood. People are not going to enjoy having you around.
Totally. And like, we're going to show you how to, we're going to redo your living room, but it's like all plaid or it's like something really assaulting.
Why would that kind of go crazy though? An all plaid living room I would really love. Is that fucked up of me?
I would like it in very conversing scales.
Yeah.
I think something like that would work
if a huge
you did
plaid,
all
plaid.
Different scales
yeah.
of plaid. Would be fun.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
You okay, wait. Trixie Mattel.
Yeah.
You're on the show. I'm so excited. Drag, makeup.
Hey, what's
music,
going on with the drag?
Real estate.
Yeah.
What can you do?
We're still trying to find, we're still trying to figure that out. That's the thing. People are like, you have so many businesses. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what I'm good at.
Which one do I like, though?
I love to come in swinging with an enthusiastic B- at everything I do.
No, you're very good at everything you do. It's actually very distressing. I want to know about how you decided to buy a fucking hotel. What was that like? Why did you do that?
Well, let me take you back to when a peanut farmer was in the White House.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, we're telling Jimmy's story today.
Yeah. So basically, Dave and I, when we first started dating, we used to go to Palm Springs as our little trips when we first started dating. We'd always be like, oh, there's always nowhere good to stay here. You either stay at a shitty hotel or like a lifeless Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so then we'd always joke about like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to have a rental here? We could call it the Trixie Motel. Ha, ha, ha. And then COVID happened and we were at home watching Very Brady Renovation. We were watching A Simple Life. We were watching a lot of those type of shows, like famous people flopping and like renovation. And I was like, oh my God, we should do the Trixie Motel. So we should renovate it. And David, because he's a TV producer, was the one who said, well, let's make it a show. And I was on Zillow and there was one pink motel that was 7 rooms that was zoned as condos. So it showed up in a residential search. And I was like, oh my God, this is like made for us.
Fate, kismet, yeah.
Yeah, so it became like this joke that we took too far. Because at first it was like the Trixie Motel. And suddenly like, I remember we were at brunch and he was like white as a ghost. And I was like, what? He's like, they accepted our offer. I was like, oh my God, we really have to do this now.
Yeah.
$2 million is a lot.
Fuck, we're in escrow.
Yeah. Oh God.
Is $2 million a lot to you? Because that's like nothing to me. I'll throw that.
It's like nothing to you because you have no concept of it. Right.
Yeah. I could never know what that's like.
Right.
Yeah.
To you, it might as well be like a billion, trillion, kajillion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like the way that kids kind of envision outer space.
Right. Like when you're a kid and you think $20 is rich. You're kind of there. You're kind of there.
Ever
since RuPaul went on Jimmy Kimmel and called me rich, everybody thinks that I'm literally Jeffree Star. Everyone thinks I get in my flying Lamborghini and I go down to my, like, you know, my miles and miles of farmland that I own.
You do not have the same money as Jeffree Star, just the same politics. That's...
I wish I had the same teeth.
Same teeth?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do they have good teeth? What are they?
I think so.
What is Jeffree Star? I don't know who this person is. I just know that they like sold elk meat at one point.
I just say they about any for if any if somebody even has long eyelashes naturally, I say they.
Safe now.
Because you're not gonna get me, bitch. You're not gonna get me. You're not gonna get me. This thing recently I bumped into this person, and it was like bright orange baby bangs. It was a little face tattoo of animal print. That's a real telling thing. Animal print tattoo on the face. Yeah. Like, all right. It was like baby bangs, animal print, like gauged ears. And I was like, hi, nice to meet you. They, them.
They, them.
And she was like, yeah, you clocked me.
Okay. You got my ass big.
Yeah. Well, they were, she, they, and but they was like, yeah, you clocked me. I was like, all right, work. Yeah. And I was like, is that me profiling or is that me using context clues to try to be super sensitive?
That's kind of Detective Monk. It's like you're really, you're zoned in on something queerly. You know something about queer people that even they don't know sometimes.
Yeah. Here's something I don't want to go away. I feel like we still live in an era where if you tell a straight guy, I thought you were gay, they're offended.
Yeah.
I never want that to go away.
I like that.
I love that because now it's no longer okay to be offended.
Yeah.
So like, why'd you think I was gay? It's like, why are you offended?
Yeah. They're like, why'd you think, not that I care, but why would you, why, what made you think that? I want
to
change it.
Right. It's like if somebody was like to me, like, I thought you were straight. I'd be like, you did.
Yes.
Oh my God. Let me wish my hair behind my ears.
Trixie, I'm going to tell you something you're not going to believe and you're not going to like it.
What?
People think I'm straight a lot.
Straight at what? Straight driving? Straight, a straight liar? A straight thug?
All of the above.
Like, straight at what?
People think I'm heterosexual, Trixie. It happens.
You're single, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you had a boyfriend, everybody would know.
That would do it, yeah.
Let's take a break. But I mean, if you are single, if everyone knows you had a boyfriend, there's a tell. They go, yeah, at least that person's bisexual because they're with a man.
Well, I think the tell is my kind of whole energy. I can't ever believe that I get cocked as straight. But it happens usually with like women who aren't in on the joke. Like I'll do like a bit on stage where I'll be like, oh, I was having sex with this woman the other night. And it's to me clearly a joke. And they'll be like, whoa, I thought he was gay, but now I think he's straight.
I was having sex with this woman the other night.
You ever do that? Have you ever had sex with a woman?
No.
Never?
No.
Have you ever considered it?
No.
Okay.
No, you know what?
Actually.
COVID was long and dark.
No.
And I feel like I exhausted all the gay porn on the internet. And then I started watching bisexual porn. And then I started watching porn of two women. And then I started watching solo female porn. And pretty soon I was like jerking off to just solo female porn. I was like, am I straight? Is this what gay? Is this what straight married men feel like when later in life they start being a little gay? I was like, am I just? Did I convert myself? Did I do everything gay? Did I finish all the side quests?
I think if anyone's at the end of homosexuality, it's you.
And a late stage, terminal stage four homosexuality.
You've run through it, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like women's bodies are pretty universally beautiful.
Whereas not like, over here.
But no, I've never been with a woman.
Really.
And I've never kissed girls. I've never done with girls because I always knew I was gay. And I don't want to like fuck with anyone's storylines. I think when you know you're gay, but you're like sleeping with girls anyway. Yes, you have trauma, but like, I always felt like, all right, I know I'm gay, so I'm not gonna like pretend I'm not, and then pretend to someone I'm being physical with that I want to do this.
I'm totally on your side. I've said this for years.
I would feel like traumatizing a woman.
It's bad. It's bad to do that. A lot of us do that. I did that, but I didn't.
And
I
get
think
it.
I
totally get why we do it. We're also trying to convince ourselves. I get it.
That's part of it. Also, I kind of think there's something too, and I wish more straight people would try this. I've got to where I am with my sexuality by trying everything, and I think trying is good. I like trying and experimenting.
Have you eat pussy?
Oh yeah.
What's the vibe?
I don't like it down there. It pussy to me. It felt like a prison sentence.
You know, I feel like we are post, like, I feel like 90s TV gay is like, oh my God. Pussy, gross. Like, we're not doing that.
But I'm back there, actually.
But I think it's okay to acknowledge that, like, when you are gay and not attracted to a pussy,
yeah,
that wouldn't be a pleasurable, exciting experience.
Well, no, I was on pussy in high school. I was doing pussy, and then I was off pussy for a long time because I was like, oh, I'm gay. But then I got back on pussy briefly because Trans Guys came out. They released Trans Guys,
right.
And when they dropped Trans Men, I was like, oh.
That was huge.
Yeah, when they dropped Trans Men, I was like, this is changing everything.
I remember seeing it on CNN.
Yeah. Wolf Blitzer. Oh, yeah. So then I was like, I'll try pussy again because I like men and these are men. And then I was like, oh, it's the pussy I don't like.
Oh, I definitely could be with trans men, I think.
Yeah.
I never have.
Yeah.
And the opportunity's never presented itself. I also would have a fear of feeling very, like, open to it,
yeah,
and then finding out in real time that it's not for me, and then I would feel like I'm using somebody as like an experiment.
Well, I've been there.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I believe I would be into it, but what if I find out in real time I'm not into it, and then I kind of like not disrespect for someone, but kind of. That would be my fear.
You're very thoughtful about sex. I'm learning right now. It seems you're very thoughtful. How long have you and David been together?
So long. 7 years. 7 years, which I, for gay people, 100 and I think
gay.
Is a lot.
Yeah, it's 100 and gay guy.
Yeah, I think it's a lot.
You guys have been together for 100 years and gay guy. What's up, y'all? If you're enjoying So True Podcast, there is so much more So True over on our Patreon. It's dirt cheap, you guys. Patreon is dirt cheap. Get over there. Get over there and get some more content. We've got bonus content on the Patreon with every single guest, including the guest that you're listening to right now. Bonus questions with them that you won't find anywhere else. In addition to that, I'm going on tour, as always. So I'm live in person. Please come see me. Well, guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. A bunch of them are sold out. But some shows that aren't sold out. I believe one of the shows that I have next week in Chicago is still has some tickets available. Houston, Fort Worth, and Dallas all have tickets available. Please go get those. And those are my only upcoming live shows that aren't sold out for right now. I don't know what to tell you. You know, the venues only have so many seats, and there's a billion K-lebrities in the world. Okay, I'm sorry. I love you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in. Please like, subscribe, share everywhere, and follow us on every social media. And frankly, you know, kind of be sycophantic about the pod. We're trying to build a cult-like presence here where eventually people will get harmed. Thank you. Goodbye.
But I also wasn't even when I was drinking, I would maybe get drunk and more flirtatious, but I was never hooking up drunk.
Really?
Yeah, one or two drinks. I like don't have the focus for that. Sex and like making out.
I kind of just like
if I have some inkling that sex could happen to me, I want to be stone cold sober.
Happened to me. Yeah, it's going to happen upon me.
Yeah, it's going to happen to me. I want to be like 4K crystal HD a part of it.
I agree with that.
Because I want to be, I want to perform.
Yeah.
I also don't drink on stage, you know, like try to.
Nor do I.
Present your best self.
I don't smoke before shows. I don't drink before shows.
Who are these people? These people who smoke weed and go on stage, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. I don't even understand people who like smoke weed and go out.
Well, I'm doing that, but.
What do you do when you go out? I mean, don't you feel like the whole room is like womp, 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 womp?
A little bit, but it's nice to just be somewhere other than my brain.
Right.
For a night.
I can understand edible and go out.
Yeah. What is the edibles fuck me up worse than weed? When I eat edibles, I feel like my blood is made of cement. I feel like I'm dying. I've died. I've come back to life to die again.
Yeah.
I don't feel good. Edibles don't work for me.
Do you remember how we met?
No.
I was thinking of this today. You and I did a comedy show with Very Gay Paint at the Silver Lake Lounge.
I do remember this. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, you just said you didn't.
I do remember now.
Okay.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
let's take a break. This is not going well.
Yeah, it was really fun. I remember getting in full drag, and I remember the comics waited outside. Outside.
Yeah. Our green room was just
was
the outdoors.
Outside. A picnic table.
Yeah, I mean, comedy.
Everyone was like, I can't believe you're here. And I was like, me neither.
Yeah, you were like, I can't either, bitch. I'll say no next time.
I had a really...
The sirens. I asked them to come. We're finally going to deal with you.
At my FFS?
Yeah.
Thank God.
We're finally getting your
we're
FFS.
We're finally getting FFS.
We've been dying for you to transition, and if you won't do it on your own, we'll do it for you.
I don't think I would transition, but let me tell you that there's been times in my life where I've thought about it, and if I ever did, the way all of the surgeries
bitch, you
would happen to me so fast. I understand that transness is not about surgery. They're independent from one another.
Yeah.
But for me personally, the way it would be Betty Boop, Jessica Rabbit, Amanda Lepore,
yeah,
overnight,
yeah,
none of you would be able to fucking take me.
No.
It would be, I would be so insufferable.
You would be so
crazy. I would be so naked.
Well, you're already pretty tough to be. You would be, I think you would be so, you're already so hard to be around, so negative. But if you were a beautiful trans woman, I think you would be almost criminal. Oh. You said something to me. Do you remember what you said to me? You said to me at, we were at a holiday party together where I just saw you on Moon's Pod where you were talking about the same party, fruitful party. But you said something to me that was so funny. Do you remember it? You said like, I think I said something like, what did I say? I said, oh, I'm exhausted from, you know, you said something about me not having sex. Yes, I think I said, I joked that I was a slut because you said I was dressed slutty or something. You said sluts have sex. Oh, and you said this in front of other people. Do you remember this? You really came for me. That's why you're on the show.
I think sometimes when I like, I'm testing people, I like go too hard too fast.
No, it wasn't too hard too fast.
I'm trying to figure out like, people's sense of humor, and that's a big swing.
I liked that swing.
Sluts have sex.
You said that's sluts have so sex. Mean. At a holiday party.
Love.
Santa Claus was there.
Love. I'm like the old... at these parties. Mm-hmm. So like the first time I went there, me and Lucy Davis just posted up in the guest house with the wine.
Yeah.
And was like, let's let the 20-year-olds run and be amok.
Let them tucker themselves out.
Right.
And we'll just be in here waiting for it to kind of die down.
Well, of course, and I'm obsessed with The Office, my all-time favorite show, mm-hmm. and the UK Office. So I was like, all right, we'll get about this much into the wine and then I'll have the courage to ask her about The Office.
Yeah.
So why weren't we talking about The Office already? You know?
And how'd it go? Did she receive it?
Oh, she was super nice about it. Yeah. I mean, a show like that, that UK Office, you ever watch it? Uh-uh. Oh, it's a slay. It's like, I think it's like one season, 1.5 seasons.
Is it your favorite TV show?
No, The American Office is my favorite.
The American Office is your favorite TV show?
Yeah. That's my fave. Buffy's an all-time fave.
Of course.
Powerpuff Girls is up there.
Of course.
Roseanne, I mean...
Oh my God.
Retro Roseanne.
The original Roseanne.
Oh yeah.
Bitch, I was living, because you're from Milwaukee.
Yes.
And are you from outside Milwaukee, smaller town, or in the city itself?
I'm from far northeast Wisconsin, but yeah. I moved to Milwaukee when I was 18.
Yes. But growing up, I don't know what your family is like, but watching Roseanne on TV, I was like, that's my fucking family. Like that felt, it was so Midwestern and so like,
yeah.
I adore, and she was in the original show, so goddamn funny. Lori Metcalf turning in Emmy winning performances.
Oh my God, every episode. And that's the thing, like, I had never as a kid seen, like, a loud, fat mom with a poor family.
Yeah.
With real problems. And, like, that, I don't know. I know that you try to separate the artist from the art. I wouldn't exactly say I have aligned views with her now.
Yeah.
But early Roseanne, the conversations about gayness, about, like, poverty, like, I was like, wow, these are... It's important to me to see as a kid.
There were queer characters on that show in the Midwest where we were both growing up who were accepted, but they were made fun of just like everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
And Nancy, that was important. Nancy, Leon.
Sandra Bernhardt, whose girlfriend for a while in the show is Morgan Fairchild.
Yeah.
And Leon, yes.
Leon Karp.
And they're gay and they're made fun of for being gay, but not in a way that's like, you know, it wasn't weird.
But it's the same way Roseanne gets made fun of for being fat.
Yeah.
It's like, but you're still Rose. It's your show. It's like they were all still a part of the community.
Yeah,
it was real. I fucking love that show. I think it's one of the best TV shows ever made.
Yeah, I really imprinted on that. And like, I didn't really have a dad. And John Goodman to me was like mentally, I was very into TV dads. Yeah. I got very attached to Mike Brady. Got very attached to what's his name? From the Beethoven movie and from Clifford.
Oh God, I don't know.
Odin, something Odin. If it's like a good TV dad, I like mentally imprint.
Yeah.
Like that's my dad now.
Oh, same. I was also, my dad was not part of the picture. And John Goodman and Roseanne was like,
yeah.
I was like, God, imagine having a dad like that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Totally.
I also don't know if you feel this way, but Roseanne, the humor in that show of like, in the original, the humor in that show of like, gathering people, but doing it in a way that everyone knows you love them.
Like Golden Girls.
Golden Girls massively, I mean, informed my sense of humor.
And like the dynamic of like Darlene and Roseanne being really similar.
Yeah.
And the way like they have this, Sarah Gilbert, I watch The Conners now still, and like that ensemble's so strong. You really believe these people are real family.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So good.
Yeah, it's fierce. I love it. Love it.
Love it.
What else do I really love? I mean, I don't know. I don't watch a lot of television, believe it or not.
I believe that.
I watch a lot of reruns because most of the time when I watch TV, I'm getting in drag.
Yeah.
So I can't put on something where I have to like lock in.
How often are you getting in drag?
Mary, I think people think I'm joking 4 or 5 days a week.
That's so many.
Yeah, it's a gift. But the older I get, the more I'm trying to space it out because I just can't handle it. My body, my skin, everything can't take like more than 4 days a week now.
Yeah.
I start to get really volatile. I start to have bad thoughts about drag, bad thoughts about all of it. And I start to be like, all right, you need to like pull back, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure a fucking billion people have asked you this question. And I try not to ask those questions on the show, but I have
just
to
ask
know.
It.
What, how did you get in? Like, how did you start drag?
Well, I never got a call back from my group interview at Forever 21. I was 18 and when I was 17, I bought a copy of the Rocky Horror Picture Show from like a Shopko in Marinette, Wisconsin. And I took it home and watched it and it blew my tits off. I just had never, I didn't really have the vocabulary, but like a man dressing up as a woman and being in charge of the room, there was something just like put like Cenobite Hellraiser chains in my brain. And
yeah.
I was like, I am so into this. And then I went to college and I joined up with like the local Rocky Horror Picture Show midnight showings at the Oriental Theater. Milwaukee has like That theater has the world record for the most showings consecutively on the original 1975 movie reel. It's like a very big deal. And so then I was like in college, and then I would go do Rocky Horror and like put on a Frankenstein mask and fake blood and glitter and high heels and scream. And it was a good environment to like dabble in cross-dressing and like play with makeup and wigs and characters. And then by the time I turned 21, that's by the time I started kind of doing the Trixie thing. More pink, more blonde, kind of like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I stumbled into it.
Because you moved to Milwaukee and then you got a BFA at...
Yeah, I got it. My Wisconsin. Biggest shame is that I went to school for musical theater.
I know.
It's really actually so... Musical theater needs... Give it up, Delicious. Like, it's like... The longer I get away from that, the more I'm like, musical theater.
It's really... You're better than that.
But like... The problem with musical theater isn't musical theater. It's the people who do it.
For sure.
It's the people who do it.
For sure.
It's really like...
Some of my closest friends, and I have a hard time with it.
It's fucked. It's fucked. Yesterday I was on my walk, and somebody drove by listening to the Stephen Schwartz musical Wicked. Blaring. And I just was like, girl, pull over. Put in your headphones.
Turn the car off.
I really thought I was going to be like, if you stop the car, it's going to be like The Godfather... When his wife gets blown up in the car.
I want to know if this is true or not, because it was in the research that Chance, my producer, did for the show. Did you run 1,000 miles in 2022?
I sure did.
Why are you doing that? You're a runner?
Yeah.
Do people know this about you? I did not know this.
Yeah. What are the two most annoying things? We're talking about doing a marathon and being vegan.
Yeah.
I'm a double.
God damn it. I'm a double negative.
And gluten free.
You're gluten free as well?
Yeah. No drinking.
The sirens. The sirens are back. So Trixie's going to stop for the sirens every time, and you guys won't be hearing them.
We'll put them in post.
We'll put them in. We'll plug them in post.
It's a clown car. Yeah. It's not even a real siren. No drinking, no drugs. Well, does weed count?
No, weed doesn't count.
Okay. No drinking, no drugs, and no alcohol, and no meat, and no gluten, and no dairy. God. So dirt, seeds, and air.
Gay people used Gatorade. To be fun. What happened to us?
I have no idea.
We really used to be like you and me. I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I'm like mostly sober. I'm like mostly chilling at my house in Kansas City. And I'm like, gay people used to be like, they used to do like Studio 54.
Yeah.
And now it's me and you.
I'm on the Peloton is my crack cocaine.
Yeah.
Jerking off is my whiskey. Like I kind of have my own. I got to tell you. Just touch me.
I'm here, baby.
Dole makes these frozen bananas in a light shell of dark chocolate.
Oh.
It's a pack of four of them, and they are only 100 calories.
I'm on it.
And I go off on
I've
this shit.
I've had these, and I love them.
I go off every night. You don't know. That crackly, thin, dark chocolate, like that frozen, the way it crackles in your mouth.
Yeah. Or like that magic shell you can put on ice cream.
Yeah.
You know what I'm fucking talking about?
Yeah.
That shit makes me so horny.
Yeah.
Like you just pour it on there and it hardens up and then you're like cracking through it.
Yeah.
I need it bad.
It's fierce, Tina.
I need it bad.
Now, we talked about shows we liked. Yeah. Now, if there was a show you could Thanos, like disintegrate it from existence, what show are you like, get the fuck off the TV. I'm not watching that.
Survivor.
Work.
I'm so fucking sick of hearing about this fucking show. I don't care. They go into the woods and there's a tribal council. I've never seen an episode. When people talk to me about Survivor, I'm like, I don't give a fuck that these idiots were dropped into the fucking woods and survived and they voted people off. They were mean to each other. You guys, there's a way to play the game that you're not. I hate Survivor. I don't ever want to hear about it.
Yeah. And honestly, it feels a little dystopian. Like, honey, we live in Hollywood. There's people on my block playing the real Survivor.
Yeah, they're really surviving out here.
They live outside, bitch.
Yeah, they are out there.
There's a real Survivor.
Yeah.
It feels a little dystopian in a way to like pretend to be tribal and have no money. And
yeah.
I don't know. But you know, some people love it. You know, Sia, the artist Sia, she's a friend of mine and she watches Survivor and she picks up the phone and calls them and gives money to her favorites just out of her pocket.
What?
Oh, yeah.
This
is like a well-known thing because on the show, I think they even give away like the Sia prize to like, it's like a Miss Congeniality.
Yeah.
I think she gives like a cash prize to people she wanted to win who didn't win.
Sia is a benefactor for Survivor contestants?
I guess. Yes. That's what she told me.
I had no fucking clue about this.
And I think on the show, like Sia's sort of like, they've talked about like Sia will send money to people as like the secondary winner, like her winner in her heart.
Yeah. That's, first of all, we need to bring back Patrons of the Arts. I love that she's doing this.
Absolutely.
But I'm, second of all, that's nuts. I've never heard that in my life.
I don't know. I could never do shows like that. Traitors, anything like that, I couldn't.
What's a show you would snap and get rid of?
Emily in Paris.
Okay.
Garbage.
Okay.
Garbage. Okay. We watched it. Katya and I have that show I like to watch on Netflix where I can't believe it. We just did our 100th episode. We get paid to sit and watch Netflix content and truly shit on it.
Yeah.
When that show started, I was like, oh God, we're being so negative. They're going to be so mad that we just sit here and shit on all this stuff. But then they kept showing us like Lindsay Lohan Christmas movies and stuff. And I was like, well, what do you want us to say?
They want this.
But they want us to shit on it. So it's fine.
Yeah.
And we watched Emily in Paris and I was like, oh no. This is so bad that now anyone I ever meet who says they like this, I have to turn them off.
Yeah.
Like they no longer exist.
They're dead to you.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you are not a human being anymore.
Yes. They're okay. So people who like Emily in Paris are subhuman to you?
It really was like, oh my God.
This brings up a good question though.
It's the Madam Web of TV.
It is. Well, do not get me started. On the topic of saying mean stuff about the Netflix shows, I feel like you are actually genuinely in real life such a nice and warm person. You're actually a nice person. But I feel like everyone wants drag queens to be mean. Do you ever just want to be nice?
Okay, I actually feel the opposite. I feel in the era of RuPaul, Everybody Say Love, We're Here, all drag content is about drag queens being positive and loving and wanting to help everyone.
Is it?
And I feel like Katya and I lead a very important front, which is we are B-minus humanitarians who are full of flaws and only care about ourselves.
Yeah, okay.
And I honestly, I'm flattered that you think I'm so nice, but I feel like we're always so upfront about like kind of representing the worst parts of human beings.
Yeah.
I mean, Trixie's not like a good person.
I think that you as a person are a genuinely kind, but maybe not nice. I think, yeah, you'll read, but I don't think you're like a hateful, mean-spirited person, but I think people want drag queens. It's interesting that you think that people want drag queens to be nice now. You would know more than me. I'm not involved.
I do. Yeah. I do think they want us to be nice. I mean, we live in a world now where like, it's like a world of like drag queens being very PC and very lovey-dovey and very like...
Really?
Yes.
I guess I'm only watching drag live in Chicago. So I'm only getting like the weirdo queens in Chicago who are, you know, dressing like a potato and rolling down a flight of stairs or something.
Chicago drag scene is very wacky-jacky.
It's nuts and I love it.
It is. When I used to work in Milwaukee, I would say, you know, I did okay for myself in Milwaukee. But when I went to Chicago and started working in like my early 20s, that's when I really like found my tribe.
Yeah. Because
the drag queens there were so weird and everyone was so gifted and so different. Chicago is a drag market that really values personas, like your thing that you do.
Yeah.
And honestly, being weird was sort of like an asset there.
Totally.
Whereas I feel like in a lot of drag markets, being weird was like the thing you had to make up for.
100%. Do you know Dairy Queen?
No.
I'm obsessed with her. She's one of my favorite drag queens. She's in Chicago. She's an old friend of mine. And she you might have seen her stuff on TikTok. She was like dressing as the devil for a while and doing like Miss Devil TikToks. But my favorite number, one of my favorite numbers of her is that she dressed really, really, got a really lifelike costume of Roz from Monsters, Inc., the paperwork monster.
Wazowski.
Yeah, she was like, Mike Wazowski. And she did a whole number as, and that's, to me, that's Chicago drag.
Yeah.
It's like weirdo, like insane, weird shit.
Yeah, Kim and I were talking about this, and Kim, she and I were saying like, back in the day, it was honestly about making each other eye roll. Yeah. It wasn't even about the audience. It was about making the other drag queens be like, oh my God, you are stupid. You're not even funny.
Yeah, you're dumb.
Yeah. It really was a time of like, unless you're doing Drag Race, no, like drag is not really being paid attention to anyway. So it's like, how can we just make each other like how can we annoy each other? Like troll the art form with our drag.
And I love that.
Yeah. All we had was GarageBand and A Dream, different times.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, back in Milwaukee.
There's so many drag queens now, though. It's different now. I mean, you really can do anything and find a home for drag.
There's so
many drag queens.
It's big now.
There's so many. Every, that musical theater you hate, he's a drag queen now.
He's a drag queen.
The most, I mean, it's really wild how many drag queens there are.
What do you think we should do about it? Are you cool with the number growing, or should we put some limitations?
I'm fine with it. Like, you know,
I did in my head think, of course Trixie doesn't care. She's chilling. Yeah.
No, I don't care. I do feel, I love all of it, and I love more of it. I wonder what's next. Like, I feel like I think we're about to birth like a new thing with drag. I feel like the industry is what it is, and the type of drag that exists is what it is. I'm wondering, like, what's the next? I'm always excited to see what the next new generation of 21-year-old drag queens like does.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I'm always excited to see what they come up with.
What are they doing? I'm not seeing them. I feel like the drag queens I see are all like pretty old, like my age, like pretty established, and they're doing their thing. I'm not seeing baby drag queens. Oh, I did just see a baby drag queen, Essence in New York. She did a Bell House show of mine, and she did. She's a black drag queen, and she did. She did a really long Rosa Parks bit where she. It was completely insane, but she came out and she had like a little, like, she was just holding a purse and dressed like Rosa Parks with like the wig and everything. She sat down and she just sat for like a very long time.
I love stuff like that.
It was fucking and the audience went on this real roller coaster of like, they're laughing because it's been 2 full minutes, and now they're dead silent because it's been 2.5 full minutes,
and then they're laughing again. They're back up. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I love shit like that.
Oh, it was great.
There was this queen who did Honey LeBronc. She did this number once, you know, that song. Do, 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 do. That song. Mm-hmm. She did that looping for like minutes.
Yeah, yeah,
and the
yeah.
song just never started.
Yeah.
And she just walked around taking money. And then the song. And then one time Dina Martina did like, some say love is the rose.
Yeah.
She did the rose. That's it.
Yeah.
She just did the 5-second version. Done. I love shit like that.
I love that.
But you know, I love short mixes. Like, I mean, a lot of the drag contracts will like contract in like when you're lip syncing that you have to do like a 3-minute mix. My mixes would always be like 2 minutes and 59 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like, I'm looking to get out there, get what's good, and dip before I start to look too sweaty.
See you later.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know.
What is Trixie Mattel, what is so true to you? It's the point of the pod. What is something that's so true to you?
You guys. Why do we stand at concerts?
Oh, okay.
Why do we stand at concerts? There's chairs until it starts, and then we stand.
Mm-hmm.
Why? We all could see when we were seated.
Mm-hmm.
We all could see.
Mm-hmm.
And now we all can see the same amount, but our legs are going to get tired.
Yeah.
That's it.
You don't feel as a performer that it's nice when people get energized and want to be standing and like into it and dancing? You'd have them sit?
I mean, like for Solid Pink Disco, for something that's like a dance event, you should stand and dance.
Right.
But I'm talking venues where there's seats.
Yeah.
And then we stand up when it starts.
Yeah.
We have seats.
You want people to
stay.
We
have them.
You want them to stay seated.
Why don't we use them?
Yeah.
Why don't we use them?
I think you're just getting older, babe. I think you're just getting older.
But I never liked it.
You didn't like it when you were young.
We have seats.
Right.
The show starts. Then we all stand.
Yeah.
And because there's seats, we're kind of flush up against the back of a front seat,
mm-hmm.
and our legs are getting cut at the knees by a folding chair. Why don't we just all sit the whole time?
Yeah.
Because unless it's my favorite song, I will sit, and then I feel truly like the Grinch at a concert because everyone around me is standing, and I'm like...
You're peering through arm slots. Yeah.
I just don't know why we're doing that. If there's chairs, like let's... And I don't love concerts in general. But like I just saw the B-52s last year and it was like we all were sitting and then it started and we all stood and I was like, but we could have all just enjoyed our favorite band crossing our legs and sitting.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm not going to be comfortable regardless because all of those venues, the seats are horrible. There's not enough leg room. I'm tall. There's not enough leg room for me to have my legs out. I'm too fat for the small little chair.
Uh-huh.
Whether I sit, stand, well, no matter what I do, and I go to a lot of concerts, I'm uncomfortable at every single one. I've never been comfortable at a concert. And I keep going back.
I just think there's a lot of dancing you can do seated.
Yeah.
And we could all just be more relaxed. And concerts feel long.
Yeah.
And I think part of why they feel long is because we're all standing for hours.
I would support it. I'll support your mission.
Like a dance show.
Yeah.
A DJ thing or like, I don't know, a dance artist. But something like, I just went to see Madonna last week because I did that little cameo in the show.
Mm.
And I was like, I know she likes us standing, but I got to sit in a little area and sit. And I was like, I'm having such a good time. Why? Well, the show's great, but also I'm not going to have to stand for 2 hours.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah. You did something in the Madonna show?
They have like these cameos where they have drag queens come on stage during Vogue. Mm. And I flew into Austin to do the little cameo. It was really crazy.
That's really crazy.
It's Madonna.
It's Madonna.
It was pretty crazy.
Did you lose your mind a little bit, or were you cool about it?
I think I was not in touch enough with what was going to happen until it was happening, and then I blacked out.
Yeah.
Because it's Madonna, and she's singing Vogue, and she really sings live. And yeah. So Madonna says, hi, Trixie, and gives you a hug and keeps singing Vogue, and you're like,
ugh.
My first drag show I ever did, I did the song Material Girl, so like it was all very crazy to be like, this is Madonna.
You've had a lot of those moments, though, at this point. What are there other ones you can think of that you're like, I've had a few, but I think like those moments where you go, wait, what the fuck is going on? What is my life? What is happening?
Yeah, I mean, fame doesn't really impress me, but if I like you, then exactly. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
People like her, people like the B-52s, I met them, all of them, and was just like, I can't handle it.
Yeah.
Can't handle it. Stuff like, I just met Honey Dijon the other day. I love her. Mm-hmm. Couldn't believe it. I was just like, oh my God. Kathy Griffin, her specials were early, like, big openings to me about like being a performer and telling stories and doing comedy. And she interviewed me for Interview Magazine. And I was like, this is so crazy.
That's pretty cool. Kathy for Interview Griffin. Magazine with Kathy. That's sweet.
Amanda Lepore every time. I just can't believe I'm in the same room with her. And then RuPaul. I stand that RuPaul shit.
Yeah.
I love it. I love RuPaul. And like every time I'm around her, I just am like, this is RuPaul.
It's RuPaul.
It's RuPaul.
And you guys are like, you guys really, really know each other. That's crazy.
I don't really know her.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
I maybe see her once every couple of years.
Yeah.
If I do something drag race related.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, she knows of me in the world. But we don't really know each other.
When you say she knows of you in the world, I would think she really knows you.
I think she knows like my face and my name. And like, you know, when I have seen her, she'll ask about like little elements of my career.
Yeah.
Because she does follow the girls a little bit. So she'll know that one of us did it, a TV show, or one of us, you know, and she'll ask about it. But I don't really see her much because I don't really do Drag Race anymore. And I haven't seen her since probably pre-COVID.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, I mean, I worship that shit. I love RuPaul. Her career is amazing because we talk so much about people like falling off or like careers doing this. But like this also accommodates your career to have so much dynamics. You can have a big surge and then take some time for yourself and then come back. I think we think of being a performer as like you have to be at your height at all times. But like RuPaul, I mean, has had huge points of his life where he's just focused on himself and stepped away and then came back and had a huge career again. Yeah. Michelle doing Seduction and then going away for a long time and then coming back and being Michelle Visage. I mean, I'm very inspired by these people whose careers have done this and it's a totally positive thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we talk about people's careers doing this and we always, Iggy Azalea told me this once. She said, people love to see a plane take off and they love to see it crash. That's Oof. It. And that's how celebrityism Oof. Is, I think.
Oof. No, really, truly. But that was, Iggy Azalea said that.
Yeah.
It's kind of poetic. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. She was talking about, you know, like perception of that stuff. And she was like, people love a plane taking off and they love a plane crashing.
Yeah.
When it comes to like the public eye, it's really crazy.
I really admire people who like you in a way, Zach Galifianakis, some of my musician friends, especially musicians more than comedians a lot of the time, but people who have access to fame and all of the stuff in LA and New York and that kind of thing and still have their thing back home and still have connection to like whatever place they feel grounded in.
Yeah. Katya and I are very lucky because we get a very like comfortable level of fame because we don't look like that all the time.
Yeah.
And people like love us, but we can like go to the grocery store and be a person.
Yeah.
I can't imagine like you're Taylor Swift. You can't go to CBS. I'm not saying CBS sucks. Is the end all be all, but no, I love but CBS.
Yeah.
And like you, like if you're Madonna, you can't, how do you even go to the doctor?
Yeah.
How do you go to the dentist?
They come to you, I think, a lot. Or they're like really private, specialized places where you have to go. It's so, yeah, it sucks. Your life is like taken from you. I have been describing fame recently as fame is a process of separation. You're getting separated from who you were before everyone was telling you about yourself all the time, positive and negative. You're separated from actual real life, like going to the dentist and the fucking grocery store. You're separated from the people you love because you're constantly working. Fame is just this like process of separation where your life gets smaller and smaller and smaller until you feel like you're on an island. And I think people who are mega ultra famous like that, like A-list, it has to feel like that.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, Katya and I, and I guess I'm Trixie is like, I get to be so lucky. Cause like I can go to the Trixie Motel and be very famous.
Yeah.
But I can like, you know, go to the Apple store and no one cares.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine these people whose their life. I remember hearing a story that Jennifer Lawrence has to, like when she goes home for Christmas, they have to like put covers over their windows because paparazzi would like try to photograph her and her family for Christmas through the windows of their house. Ugh. I'm like, that's so crazy and sad.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Well, you don't want that, but what I ask people on the show a lot, what do you want? What do you want in like, where are you going from here? You've got a million things going on. What do you actually want?
Surface level, there's a few things I want like immediately. There's mm-hmm. this place called Mr. Charlie's. Do you know mm-hmm. about this? The fake McDonald's?
Yeah. It's over by Bledsoe's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have a vegan like Happy Meal.
Yeah.
But they've been out of gluten-free buns for like a month and I need them to get that shit together. That's like, to me, being out of a gluten-free bun for a month, the Uber Eats app says sold out. Is that my camera? Stop it. Get the buns in stock because some people are like kind of sick of it.
Yeah. So, some people. I'm not going to say who.
That's what I want right away. We're actually in the process of slashing prices in the Trixie multiverse. Like there's only 7 days in the week and I'm trying to just maximize the time I'm in drag, do the most and have the most time off.
Yeah.
I need more time off. I'm taking a 3 month sabbatical.
I love that you're taking a 3 month sabbatical. You told me like two things before this recording and I said, do you fucking take a nap ever? You've got to take time off. You're doing way too much. Sorry to your fans, but you need some time.
I am. And I always thought like workaholism was a superpower. It's not.
No. Maybe it's a cancer.
Honestly, at a certain point you need to like, it's like kind of a form of self-harm to overwork.
Yes.
It is.
What are you going to do on your sabbatical?
Well, I'm still doing the podcast and the YouTube channel, so I'm still working. But
yeah,
you have I really want to go to Japan.
Really?
I really want to go to Egypt.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to Africa.
Yeah.
One of my dreams is to go to Africa. I really want to go to Alaska. I want to go to Milwaukee for like a good 3 weeks and just chill because I have a little house there and just chill out. I want to exercise. I just want to like chill. I want to read books. I really want to read Anne Rice, The Vampire Lestat.
The what?
That Anne Rice novel about the gay vampires.
Oh, I don't know it.
Yeah, I want to read that. I don't know. I just got that Stephen King book, The Tommyknockers, and starting a Stephen King book is such a process because they're so big and not overwritten, but you really have to like do a rails of Adderall mm-hmm. for the first five chapters to Absolutely. Get invested. Because in the beginning, you're like, oh my God, this is a 5-page section on the history of the dairy farm in this town.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, it's like so late. Like, you know, what else do I want
to
do?
Well, you're going to come to Europe with me when I'm there.
Yes.
That's decided.
I want to have pool parties.
In LA?
No, yes, in LA.
Yeah.
I have a pool and a house with a big backyard and I've never really had any pool parties.
Have a pool party.
Yeah, I want to have a pool party.
You should get merch. Merch for your pool party. I've been trying, all my friends who throw parties recently, I'm trying to get them to do merch. And I just think it's so funny to get extremely specific, like you invite 50 people over, extremely specific event merch for
The
guests.
Caleb Huron Backyard Cookout 1997.
Literally, like a fuck foam trucker hat that says Trixie Mattel had a pool party on July 13th, 2024, and I was there. And you make 50 really of them. And I think it's fucking hilarious.
So then I'm selling things to my friends.
I was kind of thinking you would give them out, but if you need the money.
Oh, I thought it would be like a merch booth where I'm like, stop by.
That's even funnier.
Yeah, stop by. What else do I want to do? I don't know. I have some dreams and goals, but honestly, at the risk of sounding, making everyone hang up this podcast on me, so many of my biggest, wildest dreams have come true so early in my life that I didn't think this far ahead.
I'm with you.
Everything cool I ever thought could happen kind of already happened.
I relate 100%. I wasn't planning on getting this far in general. I just kind of never, my whole life when I was a kid, I never imagined myself being this age. Like
you think you'd die?
Kind of, yeah, at certain points. I just growing up gay in Missouri, I just didn't know. I think what it was, if I had to pinpoint it, is I had literally no example of what my life could look like because I was around no gay people and nobody like me. And now I'm here and I'm like, oh, everything just kind of feels like gravy. I'm like, this is cool. I got here. Rock on.
Yeah.
It feels good. And I don't think people are going to hang up the pot. I'm liking this vibe. I like you telling the truth.
Yeah. I'm in my post-work era.
Yeah.
Like the last 10 years of working with Katya, who literally has a volatile response to any amount of work. I'm queen. Like, she's onto something.
Yeah.
Because I'm so extreme. I'm like, it's my day off. I'm going to schedule a real quick 12-hour workday.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's not right.
So I'm trying to be more like her. She yeah. really values comfort and like creative juices and time off and taking care of herself. Like, she really values work-life balance.
Yeah.
She does not live to work. And I really think that she has that figured out. And I'm trying to adapt like more of that.
I want to see you relaxing. I want to see you relaxing bad, even as a fan. I'm like, I want to see you fucking resting. I want to see some pics of you in Africa on a fucking safari. I want to see you chilling out because you deserve it.
I'm ready for that celebrity era where I work like one day a week, but I'm breathlessly exhausted.
Yeah.
This is so LA. People who have rich parents who yeah. are like, I've been so busy. I'm like, with what?
Yeah.
You don't work, bitch.
Well, they've been at
Erewhon. What have you been doing?
They've been at Erewhon. They went to the park. That's the thing that I love about LA, and I mean it. I love this, is that people are exhausted by like having no job and just doing social obligations. They're like, oh God, I'm so sorry. I had thing after thing this weekend. I had like a brunch and then
a brunch and then I like just got in from Marrakesh and like you're like okay.
Yeah, it's so funny to me, and I actually adore it. I think it's camp. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. I love people who don't work but feel like exhausted. I love it.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
Oh, it's chic as fuck. It's chic as fuck to be like
it's
doing
camp.
Nothing. It's camp. It's chic. It's all of it. To be doing nothing and be like, I'm absolutely beat.
Yeah. I last night like pulled out this box under my bed and had to go through all my turquoise jewelry. And you're like, wow, are you okay?
How did you do it?
Are you going to be okay?
How did you manage, babe?
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm like, oh, I was up in full drag at 9 a.m.
Well, again,
doing the pit stop or something.
I need
shit.
You to find a happy medium between the sorting of the turquoise jewelry and you being like having 17,000 careers a day. I don't like that for you. I want you to find something in the middle.
But it's very Barbie. It she's a pilot. Barbie. She's a nurse. She's, you know, I've done. She's a president.
Yeah.
You know, Trixie has like 40 jobs.
Trixie is very Barbie. But yeah, I wonder if there's a Barbie era where she goes on vacation and doesn't pick up the phone a little bit.
Like a lazy Barbie.
Lazy Barbie.
Oh, when I tell you guys, when I disappear from the public eye, the way I will be off the grid, no cell phone, with a beard, living under a waterfall in like greater Wisconsin, like you, it will be so extreme. It will be Survivor, man. I'll be Survivor.
What keeps you connected to Wisconsin? What keeps
everything? I love Wisconsin. Yeah. I'm like the unofficial spokesman of Wisconsin. The cheese is fierce. The yeah. beer is fierce. The Packers are fierce. Milwaukee Bucks is fierce. The bar culture. All the bars and restaurants have their own beers, own drinks. The snow is kind of fierce. Milwaukee as a city is great. Madison's great. Green Bay, Appleton area is great. The country in Wisconsin, the countryside literally looks like postcards. You live in like a postcard.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I love Wisconsin. I mean, yeah, we got like serial killers and stuff, but I would say the real serial killer in Wisconsin is alcoholism.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot less likely, you know, you're going to get serial killed than you are liver failure.
Yeah.
Because I remember this article that was like the 20 drunkest cities in the United States and 14 of them were Wisconsin cities.
Obsessed, as it should be.
People in Wisconsin are just, they're not here for a long time. They're here for a good time.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah. Everybody in Wisconsin is like, you know, by 30, you have literally two bum knees, a glass eye.
Yeah.
You're on the iron lung.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, well, after high school football, I embraced drinking heavily. And now I, you know, I just play cards on the weekends.
That's it.
Yeah. And, you know, I went to beauty school and I was very grateful. Love the Aveda Institute of Beauty and Wellness. But you also can get the same licensing by going to a salon and apprenticing.
Yeah.
You could get paid minimum wage to learn to cut hair.
Yeah.
And get your license. Why would any of us go to beauty school?
I
don't get it.
In college, I got my hair cut at a beauty school because it was like $5 and I was so broke. And I went one time and this girl, I felt a pain in my neck when she was doing it. And she went, I'll be right back.
And that's not the
and
vibe.
She went and got her supervisor. And the supervisor was like, I'm so sorry. Obviously, the haircut's going to be on us. And I'm going to try to fix this. But there is a pretty big cut in the back of your neck. And I guess she had tried to like razor the back of my neck for some. I don't know why you would do it. But she had tried to like razor off the hairline and had just like sliced my back of my head open. And I was bleeding. And it was tough.
Yeah, I saw some shit in beauty school. Honestly, like, when I smell like a perm or something, it takes me back like Vietnam to like, the other thing is beauty school is like 18-year-old girls
mm-hmm.
shaking hands, cutting people's hair. Like, by the way, if you're going to beauty school, it's truly the most, let's just say you should have an open mind when you get in that chair.
Yeah.
But people who are very particular, why are you here?
Why'd you go to beauty school?
Like, why are you, if you're particular about your drivers, why are you at the driver's school?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I saw some shit in beauty school. I saw some real shit, bitch. I mean, people, the blood, I can't tell you, like, when you're cutting a men's haircut and you're trying to, like, and you cut a huge hole on the back of some guy's head, and that's where you become Meryl Streep, and you go, like, I'm just going to step away for a second. And you go over to your instructor, and you're like, you should come over here.
Help, fuck, help, help. Right now.
And then you tell this instructor how bad you fucked up so that they go over, like, let's just check it out. It's looking great. I'm just going to. And the instructor can usually fix something without you having to let the person know that that went off the tracks.
Yeah.
Because it's the back of their head.
Yeah.
So, like, everything fine back there? You're like, yep.
Oh, it's cool. It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you.
I can just see your brain.
That's all.
But it's good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But things happen. One time, oh, my God, because I used to trim guys' eyebrows. And, you know, when you trim a guy's eyebrows, you comb the hair directly up. And then basically you would take your scissors and everything that's longer than the brow, you would go in and trim it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to do it with clippers because I thought it would be cute.
Tricks.
I cut off like half this guy's eyebrow.
No.
And the way I did like a comb over.
Yeah.
The way I got like hair gel and like back, like took the brow hair and combed it over and was like, well, I guess I just have to hope that he's planning on leaving the country tomorrow and he's never going to come back here and beat the shit out of me. Because I mean, I cut his eyebrow off.
Did he notice?
I never saw him again.
You never saw him again?
I never saw him again.
Damn.
Well, I got on Drag Race while I was in beauty school.
Yeah.
So I was in the middle of beauty school when casting called and was like, we need to talk to you tomorrow. So I had to leave in the middle. So I didn't actually get to finish beauty school. So now I got to hear that fucking Grease song every time I tell a story.
You should go back. You should finish beauty school. Make a show about that.
Kind of like Revenge Body.
Yeah.
Where I go in there with like clad in the trappings of a rich person, like furs.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Yell at them for me quitting. I don't know. I don't know why I would go back.
Yeah.
You mean to get my education?
I think you should go back.
Like Billy Madison.
Yeah. We should do that reality show where we send you back to beauty school and see if you can hang.
I did have an idea for a reality competition show called Beauty Schooled.
Yeah.
Where people are basically in beauty school. They have no training and we're putting like worse cooks and we're putting them through beauty school on the show where they have to do things like perms and fucking trimming bangs and stuff.
I'm here for that.
Could you imagine people giving shitty bang haircuts and crying on TV?
Well, it'd be like Ink Masters where they get, have you seen Ink Masters?
They get people who've never done tattoos.
They have tattoo artists, but they give them really specific, crazy challenges and they get real life humans to come and get them. And then they rank them. So they'll have like five people come and get a thigh piece from five different tattoo artists. And then they'll be like, that one looks the worst. And it's a real person who has that tattoo now. And it's like, we challenge them to do something they've never done before. And then they give you a bad thigh piece. Isn't that nuts?
I honestly don't pity the fool when it comes to tattoos because I am like, girl, every time you get a tattoo, you're rolling the dice.
You better really like that artist.
You better really like that artist and really not move and really put sunblock on it and all that.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what you want to happen. There's luckily the Trixie gets tattooed a lot. And luckily, it's an easy tattoo. It's all lines.
Yeah.
You know, compared to like if you were Courtney Act, a tattoo could just look like a woman.
Yeah.
But a Trixie tattoo is pretty easy to pull off because it's just like white lines, black lines.
Triangles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it.
So people have a lot of cool Trixie tattoos, but I don't have any tattoos. And I'm always very flattered because I'm like, damn, like what if I come out as a serial killer tomorrow?
We're going to drop you.
And then you have tattoos of me.
Yeah. Are you planning on doing that? Move in silence. Don't announce your moves.
You know, if I was going to do it, I wouldn't tell you.
Right.
And I would get away with it.
I actually fully 100% believe that. And I believe I would too.
But there's not that many active serial killers in the United States. Because the other day I was, I reread this book I love about like final girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are there any real life final girls? I was like, I wonder if there's a story on the internet about like a girl in college who all her friends got murdered and she killed the killer. None of that really happens.
Yeah.
Usually the killer kills everyone.
Yeah. That's kind of how it is.
Yeah. There's not like a lot of horror movie scenarios where people get picked off one by one and the person gets caught.
Yeah.
It's usually random victims.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if it's a friend group and someone's killing off people in the friend group, it's like you want them to catch you.
Yeah, first of all, I'm also going into hiding. The second that three of my friends and one friend group are dead, I'm like, I'm out of here for a bit.
100%.
Y'all fucking figure it out.
Especially like if you're friends with Sydney Prescott.
Mm-hmm. Which I never would be because she's a high drama bitch.
The second someone gets a paper cut, I'm out.
I'm
like,
see you, Sid.
You want to hang, you want to date Sidney Prescott.
Right.
And then be surprised when you get shot.
Don't be.
Like,
do you know what they should, you know what TV people should do? They should do a reboot of Charm School and have you host it. Do you remember Charm School with Monique?
Yeah, of course.
You would body that.
Have you ever seen Top Model?
Bits and pieces.
I've been watching, David showed me Top Model this year. I'd never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Tour. That shit is amazing.
Eight down.
I feel that the conversation about which parts of it are not PC are a little tired because that show is 20 years old.
Also, shut the fuck up. I've had it. Shows, old shows are not going to live up to today's standards.
No.
Stop. People being like, this aged like milk. Shut the fuck up. Go outside.
But that also means progress.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That means the world is different now than it was 20 years ago. Great.
Also, we need to get back to comedies. We don't make comedies anymore. Where are the raunchy comedies that actually make jokes about stuff? I'm like, this, like, we need to be making fun of stuff. It's, everyone's going to be okay. If we make jokes about each other, everyone's going to be okay. But people are obsessed now. All the like young people shows are like, or the meetings you fucking have where I try to pitch jokes to these people for TV shows and they're like,
no kink at Pride.
Ooh, no.
No kink at Pride.
No kink at Pride.
The second I see a nipple at Pride, I'm fucking leaving.
I'm out of there. That's not I'm what this out. Is about to me. Where bring the out. Cops in.
It's Pride. I want us to go to the library, put on some nice slacks, drink a glass of orange juice, and watch the news.
Hello.
That's what I want.
Just a quick glass of OJ in the news. You know what Pride is.
This is what I'm obsessed with. I think I talked about this on The Bold and the Beautiful, but I'm obsessed with TikTok consultation videos for hair.
Yeah.
Where they're like, okay, let's sit in the chair. And the person's sitting. And the person always has a fucking mop with just box hair dye. It's a mess. And that's why they're there. They're there to get fixed up. And yeah. We love a good before and after. So you got to start with the mess.
Yeah.
And then the woman or whoever is always like, my pronouns are whatever. And the person in the chair says, my pronouns are whatever. Love it. Progress. Love it. Love it. Love it. But then they say, can I touch you? Can I touch your hair? And I understand that there's consent involved. How are we going to cut the hair without touching anyone? I mean, anyone?
Like at some point, it's like...
How was that going to happen?
Isn't it implicit in walking in here?
Can I touch your hair? Oh, touching hair is part of this? I'm out.
No, fuck no.
I thought you were going to read from scripture and my hair was going to cut itself. Like, what?
Trixie, have you ever heard of a show called Style by Jury?
No.
There is an old reality show called Style by Jury. I think it's maybe on YouTube or something. It was a show that was on television. And what they do is they bring in some horrible, broken person that looks disgusting. And they put them in a room. So if I was the person, which I never would be because I'm gorgeous, there in front of me there would be a two-way mirror that I can't see into. And behind it is a jury of 12 of your peers. And they are filming the jury. So you're just sitting there. And the jury's going like, disgusting teeth, needs a nose job, like hair is filthy, like truly like ripping them apart. And then they will later on show the contestant, like what the jury said about them. And that's how they convince them to go on the journey. And then they get them dental surgery. There was one woman, Trixie, there was one.
Put it in. There, insert it now.
There was one woman who said she was also afraid of swimming. And they said she's busted. She looks like a mother of four and she has no kids.
By the way, what's wrong with looking like a mother of four?
Well, in this show, it was bad. And she said she was afraid of swimming. They told her she was getting a haircut. They took her to a pool. They walked her in and there's a pool. And they're like, you're going to swim today.
Well, that's one of my favorite things about Top Model is the makeover.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, if you're on Top Model and you have long hair, get ready for your aggressive little spike haircut.
Guess
bitch.
What? There's a pixie incoming,
get
bitch.
Get ready for Tyra to actually give you a 6-year-old Dutch boy's haircut and then tell you to your face on camera that you look like Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby. She loves to be like, you're going to look like Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby. And this person is Dennis the Menace in this haircut.
Not being Dennis like, the Menace.
And this, you know, it's always like Kimberly from Nebraska, who's been attached to her long, beautiful blonde hair her whole life, sobbing. And sometimes they get the haircut and then quit.
Yeah.
So they get the haircut for nothing.
And they're always trying to justify too. The clips I've seen on Top Model, they're like, I definitely see what Tyra was going for. And like, I do feel like it's going to open up. It's like, bitch, you are traumatized.
But also, I'm sorry. They're usually right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they take the girls who are too soft and too pretty and they give them edge.
Yeah.
And then the girls with too much edge, they kind of split the difference.
Yeah.
I think, and I will say this, but it's a lot like Drag Race where Tyra's a little insane.
Yeah.
That bitch knows what she's talking about.
She is on it, honey.
She has been Tyra for years.
And she's a performer.
I would listen to her if she tells you, hey, that look will actually get you booked more.
Yeah.
She's probably telling the truth. When RuPaul says, oh, just make it funny and it'll work better and you'll be able to sell your book, whatever. She's probably telling the truth.
Yeah.
She's never going to lie to you.
Can I tell you something crazy? And I wonder if you'll give a fuck at all about this. I have never seen an episode of Drag Race.
Really?
Yeah, never won.
Let's unpack that.
Let's unpack that.
At a certain point. Oh God.
Never seen it.
So you're a pick me girl.
No, bitch. I love
the term pick me girl.
I'm not a pick me girl.
I was watching fucking Love is Blind. That's my shit.
Yeah.
Love is Blind is my shit. I want to host that so bad. I would love to host a dating show because I love love.
Yeah.
I love love.
You'd be great at a dating
I get
show.
So invested. I cry watching those dating shows. Yeah. Love, love, yeah. love. And nobody holds those bitches to the fire like I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to hyperventilate. I forgot what I was talking about.
You're talking about wanting to host a dating show.
Oh, I like blacked out. Okay. In those shows, they recently had the finale of Love is Blind and they kept calling each other a pick me girl.
Yeah.
But that show by nature is people dating and saying pick me.
It's literally
so I love
me.
That.
Yeah, obsessed.
And then they were saying you're not a girl's girl, which means like you value your female friendships more than male friendships. Not if the show is about dating, male-female dating.
I'm here for the guy.
We should all not be girls' girl. Like, if you're a girls' girl, go over to the Ultimatum Queer Love Edition with the lesbians. That's the girls' girls. In a male-female dating show environment, you might be a girls' girl at home, but now's the time to be a boys' girl.
A boys' girl, even.
Because you're dating on TV right now.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Ultimatum, the Queer Love Edition?
I've never seen any of that.
Bitch. It was some of the best television I've ever seen in my life. Because
why?
The show Ultimatum, I feel like I'm the commercial for Netflix right now, because all we watch is Netflix. So basically it's a show where let's say you and your wife, because everyone thinks you're straight, let's say you guys are, one of you gets to marry, the other doesn't, and mm-hmm. you've been given an ultimatum. And it's like 10 couples like that. You all get together mm-hmm. and you date each other's spouses, mm-hmm. like round robin. And then after a week, you all get together and you have to pick someone else at the table to be your temporary spouse for a month, where you live together and date and have sex and all that. And then at the end of it, you decide whether or not you want to go back to your relationship.
This is on television?
Yes.
What?
Honey, yes. And then if you think that's crazy, the lesbians, it's gas on a fire, because these perfectly, basically happy female couples, mix and matching, round robin, like Red Rover, send your girlfriend right over, I'm gonna eat her pussy.
Yeah,
is so fucking crazy. And they're like living together, dating, and the lesbian drama is like, I can't believe you won't sleep in bed with my dog. Like, it was so fierce. And then sometimes, I mean, the beauty of it is sometimes couples learn that like the grass is not greener. At the end of it, I love who I'm with and we're getting fucking married. And that always makes me cry. I love it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes this is the catalyst that gets people out of a relationship that's run its course. So the show is sadistic in a way, but it creates change in these dynamics where like something's got to give.
Yeah.
So it makes people realize to really choose each other or not choose each other. And a lot of times it's overdue.
Do you think you and David would survive a show like this?
I think if he didn't want to be with me, he would have left already.
It would be done already.
Yeah.
The show wouldn't cause this.
Because we moved in together last year. We waited 6 years to move in together.
Wow.
Yeah. We opened the motel before we lived together.
Whoa.
Yeah, I have problems. And I have space problems. And when we got together, I thought like, of course it's great to live together, but I forgot how annoying I am.
Oh.
I can feel it.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
What are you being annoying about? What is your problem?
I'm so annoying. If you don't pay attention to me, mm-hmm. I'm coming in for that attention. Mm-hmm. David will be watching TV peacefully and I will go lay directly in front of like the line of sight from him to the TV. I'll go lay this close with my face and smile and be like, do you want to talk about something? Because I'm here.
That's so annoying.
I noticed you haven't talked to me in a while.
That's
you know?
So annoying. I would love it, but that's so annoying. You're so right.
Or like I'm in the sunroom doing my little watercolor, listening to my headphones. And I'll just be like, I'm in here. He's like, okay.
and?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. But okay. Awesome.
Yeah. The longer I'm just like, I'm so annoying and poor him. Poor him. But like I said, he would have left already.
Yeah. He would have been gone.
He would have been gone. I would never do a show like that because even having David on Trixie Motel, that to me was always like the final frontier of my life I was not interested in sharing.
Yeah.
But when we did season one, the network was like, well, home shows, rental shows are all about the family unit. If you're going to own this motel with your partner, you got to have them on the show. That's half the story. So it was really weird and weird to have him on TV. And
that is strange.
I never thought that part of my life would be very public, but it was actually fine.
Yeah. Well, we have a segment for you. I have a true false segment for you. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
What's going to happen is I'm going to read you 15 statements. You're going to tell me as quickly as you can if you think they're true or false. There is a right answer. And if you get 10 or more correct, we're going to give you $50, Trixie, which I know.
Is this really real?
This is real. And it would go a long way for you right now. I know.
Who that. Else has won it?
Oh, God. Who's won?
How many do I have to get right?
You have to get 10 or more out of 15. Okay. Okay. Here we go.
I just poked myself in the eye.
Well, okay. Don't do that. Okay. Okay. France used the guillotine for capital punishment until 1981.
False.
True. Computer mouse speed is measured in Mickey's.
False.
True.
Wait a minute.
Let's take a break.
I don't like this.
But well, you're in it now. Barbie's hometown is the fictional town of Willows, Wisconsin.
Isn't it like Willow Creek or Two Willows? I'm going to say true.
It's true. Dolly Parton's husband's name is Stedman Graham.
True.
False. Carl Dean. Doritos are flammable.
True.
The Philippines have the most islands of any country.
False.
Sweden. Larry Bird is the all-time leading scorer in the NBA.
False.
It's LeBron James. Goats.
Did I already lose?
No. Goats have rectangular pupils.
Did I already lose the money?
No, babe.
Okay. True.
It's true.
Oh, fuck.
Colgate.
I want this $50 so bad.
Colgate was founded in 1806.
True.
Cindy Lauper has a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
That's true.
That's false.
I thought if I confidently said it, you would like just go along with it.
I was like, you said so confidently, I reconsidered the answer.
Yeah.
Humans share 50% of our genes with bananas.
That's true. Can I tell you this? When we did the Netflix standout special with all those queer comics, uh-huh. They didn't invite you. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Cindy Lauper was supposed to. Cindy.
We did that queer comedy. You weren't there. Were you? You weren't booked. Oh,
I kept asking
sad.
Where you were. I said, "Where's Caleb?" They said, "Who is that?" Well, people thought you were straight. They thought you were straight.
Shut up, bitch.
They thought you were straight.
They said, "Who is that?"
No. Girl,
you are such a bitch.
No, they said Cindy Lauper was supposed to be there, and she was supposed to end it by singing "Girls Just Want to Have Fun" with Rosie O'Donnell while Rosie O'Donnell played the drums. I know, and Rosie O'Donnell's playing the drums to "Girls Just Want to Have Fun," and they were like, "Cindy's not going to be here because of a COVID scare. We need you to sing "Girls Just Want to Have Fun." So the special ended at the Greek with me singing "Girls Just Want to Have Fun" while Rosie played the drums.
Yeah, and why not?
The audience was like.
They're like, what?
They were like looking around. They were like, I think they were looking for like Tosh.0 to come out and be like, we're just kidding.
It's a joke.
It was crazy.
Tracy, you're not storing your way out of my segment. Humans share 50% of our genes with bananas. Did you answer That's true. New Orleans is the capital of Louisiana.
That's not true. It's Baton Rouge.
Correct. It's false. It's Baton Rouge. Yes. Phantom of the Opera is the highest grossing Broadway show ever.
I think it's Cats.
False. It was Lion King, but I'll take that as
fuck.
False. We've got two more. Human noses and ears never stop growing.
That's true.
Blue whales eat 500,000 calories in one mouthful.
Honey, call me a blue whale.
Me and them both.
Yeah.
True. How'd she do?
You got 11.
Let's go.
Did I win $50?
Congratulations, honey. I know times have been tough. Oh my God. Maybe we can get you some makeup or something. I don't know what you people need, but.
I really needed this.
Trixie, thank you so much for being on.
This was a blessing. I can't believe I have to leave.
I can't believe you have to leave, but you do. The police are here, and they're going to escort you out. But I'd love to see you in some other context sometime.
Yeah, like I love hanging out with you.
I love hanging out. Well, you know what you should do? We should do a week where when you're in Milwaukee, I come up and see you, and then you come down to Kansas City and stay at my place.
Girl, Miss KC.
Come down to Kansas City.
What's the bar there? Isn't Mohart from there?
Mohart, I think.
Who's from Kansas City, Brendan? What was that bar there? We went to a bar there that was really nice.
Missy B's?
Big bar. It had like a balcony upstairs, an outdoor area.
Oh, you're thinking of Fountain House. Maybe.
It was so
fun. Was it a gay bar?
Yeah, yeah. Funhouse. We had a really good time.
Yeah. Kansas City is awesome. There's like 7 gay bars in Kansas City. It's a very gay town.
Yeah.
People don't know this. It's lovely.
Yeah, it was really nice.
You should come see me.
Let's make it happen.
We should hang out.
Okay.
I love you. Thank you for doing this. Is you're going on tour in June, is it?
Yeah, June. Instead of doing a bunch of Pride gigs this year, I'm basically traveling with my party, Solid Pink Disco, and dropping it in cities during Pride.
Yeah.
So your Pride has a little adjunct faculty party.
Hell yeah.
Extra party. So all over. New York, Silver Spring, Maryland, Philadelphia, Boston, Nashville, all kinds of cities.
Oh my God, I'm going to come to one.
Yeah, they're really fun.
I'm
Everyone, the whole audience head to toe wears pink.
Yeah.
All the visuals are pink. All the go-go's are in pink. It's like, and it's all disco music. It's amazing.
Maybe I'll come to Nashville.
It's so fun.
Oh, I'm going to come. This is so fun.
It's really fun.
And yeah. Your podcast and your YouTube. Everyone knows where to find you. Everyone fucking loves you. I'm your biggest fan.
At this point on the internet, if you haven't seen me, you've actively avoided me.
Yeah, you're homophobic.
I'm like trolling. I'm like a Mormon, like, have you heard the good news? Like, I'm coming to, you know.
You're on there.
Door to door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we love you. Thank you for being here.
Bye.
We'll cut all the stuff, the fatphobic stuff you said, and all the classist stuff as well.
No, you can keep that.
Okay.
and I can dub it. I can redub it if you want. Okay, ADR?
You'll ADR it. ADR. Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. Good. Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Could you have like 5 minutes to do some Patreon questions?
Yeah. What time we get?
I've never seen it.
I'm sorry I breezed right past that.
Oh, not at all, baby. I was like, shit, I don't want to talk about it. No, I've never seen it.
Why?
I just never have. I don't know. And I'm friends with a lot of the queens. I love.
There's an opportunity here for you. Because now you can go in and respond to it in real time. You could watch it for the first time and do another pod, like recapping it for the first time, knowing nothing.
And have queens on?
Yes. Because Nicole Byer did a show where she recapped like...
Newcomers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do that with Drag Race.
That is a really good idea, Trixie.
And you could get another gay person who has never seen it.
Yeah.
Or a straight person, straight guy or something.
Yeah.
And go through it. And you could do like, you could honestly do like a season at a time. You wouldn't even have to do episode by episode.
That is a really good idea. I might need to do that.
Katya and I are going to recap season 7, I think, because we haven't seen it in 10 years.
Yeah. We were one of you on it?
We were both on it.
You were both on that one. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.